Just be more like him. Amen. God bless you. Good to be in church. This is 24 in your hymn book. Let's stand.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain.
Living by faith in Jesus above. Well, now we sing that song, but I wonder how many of us really mean it. I've heard it sung. I've heard it sung most of my life. I've also heard it sang. But I think most people that sing it, they really have no idea what it is to live by faith. I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm just saying a lot of people, they walk around with hope, as Brother Bram said. They have hope. They really don't have faith. Brother Joel, Brother Luke, do me a favor. Turn those lights out. Turn them back on. Did you doubt they were going to go out? Did you doubt they were going to come back on? Faith. You knew that if everything was working right, they would absolutely go out without a doubt. They would absolutely come on without a doubt. Does Jesus not do everything right? Did he not promise he would heal us? I like what Brother Nathan said. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait a while. I also like what Brother Billy Paul Branham says. He said, I'm waiting for my body to catch up with my faith. And you may think, well, that's kind of a silly statement. Not really. He said he would heal us. He didn't say how soon. Now, if you come up and you're healed right then, that's a miracle. It's still a healing, but it's a miraculous healing. If you're prayed for and it takes a day or two or three or an hour or a month or a year, that's healing. But he said he would do it. So tonight we're going to go to prayer. Now, I'm not sure who Sarah Gaddy is, but we have a prayer for her that she will have faith. Well, there we go. That she will have faith for her back to be completely healed. For she is having a lot of pain. So let's remember that, sister. If you've ever had back trouble, and I have, the Lord healed it. So I'm so glad that we can pray that way. Lord, we know what you've done for me. Now for this sister, or this woman, which doesn't say sister, but nonetheless, let's ask the Lord to heal her. Let's continue to remember Brother Collins' family at this time with his passing. But you know, I thought of it later. I forgot to say, let's also remember his little church over there. I know Brother Rogers is there and he'll take care of it. I understand they're still going to have their services, but let's keep him in prayer because I hate to use that word lost again, but in one sense, in that way, they have lost a pastor. So let's keep him in prayer. They are our brothers and sisters, and we should be praying for them to see what the Lord would have them do. Will they vote Brother Rogers in or what? I don't know. I just want the Lord's perfect will. So let's not only remember Brother Collins' family, let's remember his church over there and the people that the Lord's perfect will be done. Daryl asked to remember him. Last time he was in London, they had that, was that the explosion? Sorry? Oh, yeah, on the subway. And so he just asked that we remember him not only for safe travels over there, but safety while he's there. Because you're in Europe and listen, terrorist, the old devil, his children are everywhere, so just that the Lord would bring him home safe. Let's continue to remember the pastor. He's leaving, is it later, our time tonight, or tomorrow morning, our time? Okay, because that 7 hours difference kind of makes me have to stop and think. So Brother Nathan will be flying home tomorrow, so let's remember him, that the Lord will bring him safely all the way home. Let's continue to remember little Peyton Bryant. Let's continue to remember Brother Mike Eplin and our sister Patty Ard. Brother Gabe Bryant sent in a prayer request. He has flu-like symptoms and has had them for several days. He wants us to pray for him. Let's continue to remember Sister Tina for a swift recovery. Brother Will Eplin, let's remember him. And Sister Stephanie Duval's aunt, let's remember her in the hospital with pneumonia after that fall. Let's continue to remember Brother Randy's daughter, Ariel. Those are all the rest of you that have a request you want to make known by the unlifted hand because Father knows every one of them. I'm going to do something a little different tonight. Brother Furman, would you come and pray over these? He spends a lot of time up there trying to get us in the right atmosphere to set it for us to worship the Lord. But I know he's a man of faith, so I want him to pray tonight. God bless you. You're right.
You ever want somebody extra to pray for? If you're just sitting around drinking coffee on a Sunday morning, you can pray for me.
Amen.
God bless you, saints. Let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, what a privilege to come before you tonight, Lord. These serious requests, Lord. We serve a mighty God. We know that you're more than able to come down and touch each one, Lord. We don't know how, we don't know when, but we know that you can do it, Lord. Sometimes when we look at it through our glasses, Lord, it's easy for doubt to get in the way and we question you, but just help our faith to just ramp up a notch tonight, Lord, where we can know that those promises are for me and for each one here, Lord, that we can, by faith, stand on the promise, Lord. We know it's a finished work. We know your prophet said, it's done, and just wait until. He didn't say until when, he just said until. So, Lord, we stand on those promises and wait. We believe. Lord, we all have needs in our lives and things that we face and mountains that we need moved. I pray tonight that you would just move a spoonful for each person here, Lord. Just meet the needs of each one that's the sick and needy, Lord. I can't remember them all, but you know each one. I pray that you bless Brother Nathan as he travels, Lord. Strengthen him. Give him strength, Lord, from the meetings and the toll it takes on him to travel and giving of himself, Lord. And as we go into the further part of the service, I pray that you would just come down, Lord. Use Brother Layton to speak to us what you would have for us. Just use his lips. Help us to be attentive, Lord. Bless your bride around the world, Lord. I pray a special blessing on the Collins family at this time with a loss. And bless his church and whatever you have for them. I pray that you just keep them in your perfect will. And strengthen us, Lord. Help us to be an encouragement to one another. And we look to you, Lord, and we thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Sister Chloe.
It's a bubbling. It's a bubbling.
Thank you, Sister Chloe. Well done. At this time, we have a special from Sister Christy Heron-Bassick and Stephanie Duval.
She's just one check away from losing it all.
Sure, appreciate that song and our special singing this evening. God bless you. Let's stay in this evening, change position a little bit before our brother comes.
Well, I have decided I'm gonna follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided I'm gonna follow Jesus. Well, I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Just take this whole world, but give me take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Just take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. Before me, the world behind me. I won't turn back, but I won't turn back. Just take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Though none go with me, still will I follow. Though none go with me, still will I follow. Though none go with me, still will I follow. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Just take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I am feasting on milk and honey. I am feasting on milk and honey. Feasting on milk and honey, it satisfies, it satisfies. Oh, I'm so glad I believe this message. I'm so glad I believe this message. I'm so glad I believe this message. It satisfies. It satisfies. Oh, take this whole world, just give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me
musicians. Well, I certainly appreciate the musicians. They make us sound good. They can sure cover up a lot of our mistakes, and I don't know about you, but I have a lot of them. Don't want to keep you standing real long. I'm going to try not to hold you more than 2 or 3 hours. No, just not hold you any longer than less necessary. Let me put it that way. You know, when preachers say, I'm not going to hold you about 30, 45 minutes. Well, when the Spirit takes hold, you just got to follow Him. I'd rather have Him say, well, I'm going to be here about 3 hours, and then maybe they'll cut it off at 2. But no, we won't be 2, I don't believe. But I do want to read a passage of Scripture, if you want to turn to Ephesians, the second chapter. I was just going to read one verse, and then sitting in the office earlier, I got here a bit early, and started reading. I think I'll just read about the first 8 or 9 verses. Brother Hoover and Sister Jeannie didn't make it tonight. He texted me and said he wasn't going to be able to make it, so whatever their reasoning was, since they were up at I think it was a funeral, but one of her relatives had died, and so for whatever reason, they couldn't make it, but we trust the Lord will be with them and bring them home safe, and Lord willing, we'll see him Wednesday night. So we missed him. I was hoping he'd be here so he could take care of the prayer requests and things, but you know, you just have to step in where you have to step. So I'd like to start tonight with the Lord willing and Ephesians 2. And just before we read the word, let's talk to the author for just a moment, if you would, please. Father God, as we come, you know, Lord, how much I've battled trying to find what message to speak to your children. But nonetheless, Lord, I believe you've led me to this, and I just ask you to help me. I'm a bit nervous and not sure just exactly where this is going to go or how it's going to go, so I just lean upon you and say, Lord, help me. I'll do my best to get out of the way, and you just take control. Let me say something that will encourage your children, and then you get the glory for every bit of it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past that you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others are. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even as we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Please be seated, and may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. I was asked last time I preached, said, you didn't take your coat off. They kept waiting, some of them kept waiting for me to take my coat off, but I was fairly comfortable, but tonight I'm already hot, and maybe it's because I'm a bit nervous, but it doesn't matter. The Lord knows how to take care of that part too. What is strange to us, but not to God, is when I text Brother Nathan today and told him what I was going to preach on tonight, he says, isn't that something? He said, I've been preaching on that over here. I said, well, good. When you get home, you can just take it and finish it up. So, and what is it? I want to talk to you tonight about grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But it's grace. I like what Paul said. Let me go back up here. He says, even when we were dead in sin, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are we saved. And he did drop down. He said, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And it's not you yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast. Think about it. Now we are saved by grace. And that grace has to be done with what? Faith. But when you stop and think about it, even the faith we have, saints, is not ours. Paul said that God gave us the faith. Brother Branham said God gave us faith. So he gave us faith so that when he called us, we could by faith answer that call of grace. But now let's take this way back Let's just not say, oh, you know what, Brother Layton was saved when he was 16 years old or 15 years old or 30 years old, or you might have been saved when you was whatever it was. You were saved before the foundation of the world. Now, a lot of people, like I said about faith earlier, people walk around and they talk it. But I wonder, do they really believe it? That I was in the mind of Christ. And if you're saved tonight, you were in the mind of Christ before there was anything. He was that great fountain, as Brother Branham described it, of love. That rainbow color that just up there milling around, you might say. And those lights just moving and going and whatever. Maybe it filled all of time and space that was there at that time. But in there, Brother Branham said, that God wanted to be a father. And in there, he wanted to be a savior. And in there, he wanted to be a healer. And in there, he wanted somebody to worship him. To bring it down on a human level. Especially with the sisters. But even the brothers have that. You find somebody that you love. You want to be loved. And you want somebody that you can love. Filial love. But we want a partner. We want somebody we can walk through this life together, that will hold our hand and comfort us when we're sick or try to encourage us when we're feeling down. But then once you're married and you find that one and you're married, and then what is it? Then the next thing you know, you start talking about, oh, maybe we can have a baby. Well, do you want a boy, honey? Or do you want a girl? Oh, I don't care. Oh, wouldn't you like to have a boy, Brother Jerry? You know, oh my, Jerry, I think it'd be so nice to see a little boy. Oh no, honey, I think it'd be nice, Dottie, if you had a little girl. You know, and that's the way we are. We're back and forth and back and forth. Now there's some out there who will say, well, I want a boy. Bless God, I want a boy. I don't want no stinking girl. And some guys are the other way around. Well, I want all girls. I don't want to have to put up with no boys. Yeah, they knew what they were like. But my point is, if you're really in love, and you really have the Holy Ghost, and you're really serving God, there's something in you that you want to bring a life into this world that you can love. And really, when you come right down to it, it don't matter if it's a boy or a girl. What you want is one that is healthy, if it's possible, and in its right mind, if possible, and it can go through life, that you can raise that child up to love the Lord like you do. Now, that's the human side. What about the Father's side? Will you multiply that feeling that you and I may have had back when we were, especially the younger ones, when you were younger, let me say it that way. Then you multiply that maybe by 100 million, billion times, and you maybe then you'll start scratching the surface of what God wanted to do and what God wanted to be. And way back before he made one angel. Now think about it. He made angels first. He had angels and they worshiped him, and that's why that was fine. But he wanted something that would worship him because they wanted to worship him, because they loved him, because of what he was doing for them. So way back there, he thought of it. Do you realize that, let's just throw out a number, because I don't know, 100 million, billion years ago, and we can't even comprehend it, that he, God himself, knew that you would be sitting here tonight. He knew that Sister Mary Beth would be sitting there scratching her neck. I'm not making fun, I'm just showing. Yeah, no, not that bad. He knew that Brother David Eplin would be sitting back there with his arms crossed. Yeah. He knew that Sister Stephanie would be sitting over there with her arm out this way. He knew that Daryl would be going to England. He knew that Brother Nathan was going to Finland and would be on his way home. See, he knew it. But way back there, he also had an idea of what he was going to do. He didn't have to change his plan. He knew that Sister Soderquist was going to be coming down here and sit. He knew that somewhere in her lifetime she would come across this message. He would guide her footsteps. It wasn't nothing she done. He guided her footsteps. She didn't know it. But he was guiding her footsteps to some place, somebody, some way, somehow, that she heard about the message. And then when she got a hold of it, something in there that she can't explain and I can't explain and you can't explain, except to say it was God. He quickened that and we went, that's right. I remember when Brenda and I went down on our honeymoon to Brother Branham's meetings. And I was sitting there being raised a Pentecostal boy. Oh, I've seen all kinds of things. I've seen miracles performed. I've seen devils cast out. I've seen preachers preach like a ball of fire. And I've seen a lot of hypocrites too. But I sat there in those meetings, and on the way home, Brenda looks over at me, and she's driving as usual. I didn't think about it back then, Brenda. Still was driving early in the marriage. She still likes to drive. I always tease her about, you like to be in control. But that's just a joke. She knows who the head is, and that's him. But the point I'm trying to make is, we're sitting there, she's driving down the road, and she looks over, and she says, talking about the meeting, she said, well, what did you think about that? And I had to sit there for a moment, and I thought about it, and I just shook my head. I can remember doing it. I said, I tell you one thing, I have never in my life seen anything like that. That was true, I hadn't. I've seen people, prophecies and this and this and this, and I've seen them, maybe they hit, maybe they don't, blah, 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 but never seen one like that. See, it got my attention. But here's the thing, he knew way back then, before he made one star, before he made one angel, he knew he was going to get me. But he had to let me be raised up by a great-grandmother, go to a Pentecostal church, go in the Navy, come home on leave, heard mom and dad who used to go to one church, change churches and go to another church. Then they come down there to my home church for Thanksgiving Day meetings, weekend meetings. I come home from leave at the same time, attended those meetings, even preached one service, and even got to talk to her. Didn't realize it at that time. Heard another blonde-headed girl. But later on, it was that one. But here's the point. See, God had to guide those footsteps. I will get past this. Those footsteps to get me where? Where he wanted me what? I had to meet her. I had to meet her brother. I had to go back up to my ship. Then I went down to the church, not because she was there, but I went down because I wanted to go to church. So I went down to their church where they were at. And that's when her and I fell in love. But the point I'm making is God knew how to bring that about. And then from there, because of the situation of them rejecting the message, the family left and went back to Brother McHugh's church. But isn't that amazing? God had to take her family from this church to this church so she could find the right husband. So her brother could find the right wife. Think about it. God knows how to get those children because way back yonder, he thought of me in his thoughts, and he knew just exactly what it was going to take down through life to get me, and so it was for you. It wasn't happenstance. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't, oh, well, it just so happened that I walked down the street. No, it wasn't. God put you down the street. It's like a sister lost her husband some years back, and she said, I won't marry again. She said, but I told God, if you want me to marry again, you're going to have to send a real true believer right down my sidewalk for me to meet. And he did. And they got married. See, but was that because she said that? No, it was because it was in the plan of God from before the foundation of the world. But she didn't know it. She does. But when she said it, no doubt being a human being, we weren't even thinking along that line. You say, well, what has all of this got to do with grace, Brother Layton? Well, by grace are you saved. I've often, and don't take this the wrong way, but I've sat around at times and thought, Lord, I wonder where I'd be if you hadn't got a hold of me and brought me to this message. I don't know where I'd be. I can't tell you. But, you know, you think, well, maybe I'd still be in Pentecost. I might still be preaching that same old shouting, screaming, hollering, dancing, running tongues. And I'm not saying it's old. I mean, but the way they did it, oh, we had such a good service tonight. We shouted the preacher down. And we thought that was glorious. But then God brought us to this and said, that was totally wrong. The word is what's important. It's the word. Then you can shout and scream and holler and jump and run and dance and all. But you got to hear the word. You've got to be lined up with the word. See? But what was it? It was by grace that every one of you are sitting here tonight. You can look around and say, I wonder how Brother Mortar and his family come across the message. What did God have to do to bring them here? See, not just to this church, but to the message. And then they've traveled from where to where to where to get them to this sit in fellowship with us in heavenly places. Then Sister Estera from over in Romania. Thank you. I went blank. Must be the age kicking in again. But think about it. From Romania. I know her dad was a message preacher over there, but her dad had to get the message someplace. Somebody had to bring it to him. Think about it. All the way into Romania from a little old place called Jeffersonville. Talk about the grace of God. And tell me, what did her dad have to do with it? Not one thing. What did Brother Mortar and his family have to do with it? Not one thing. Not that I could boast. Not that they could boast. It was him that did it. It's the grace of God. But here's the kicker. You can take and say, oh, I've got grace. I've got grace. I believe in grace. I believe in grace. That's fine. But do you believe you're saved? How did grace come? By grace are you saved. And that through faith. Now, faith is simple. I just showed you earlier. Turn out the lights. Turn on the lights. Just believe it's going to happen. But here's the other thing. There's a definition for faith, and faith means an unexplainable belief. Yeah. Now, how can you explain to me the grace of God? We can't. I can tell you about it. I can tell you what it means. I can tell you how it comes. I can tell you this and this. But if you go all the way back there, why in the world would God choose me? When you look back at your sinful life, I don't mean live back there now, but we all know what we've done. Maybe one's a bigger sinner than the other. Maybe one was almost perfect. It doesn't matter. Until you came by the way of the cross, you were still a sinner. And then we wonder, Lord, why did you choose me? As I like to use the example, we can take every one of us and we can put us in a line and we can look to our left and there's a million people, and you look to your right and there's a million people, and God walked down through there and he said, Brother Buckles, I want you. Where'd all the rest of them go? Grace. He walked down through another line and he said, Sister Christy, I want you. Where'd the rest of them go? That's a million people each way. That's 2 million people. But the cross was stood out and he picked the one right in the center, and it happened to be you. Thinking, I mean, just take each one. Take yourself. Imagine yourself in a line of 2 million people. And to think that God looked down and said, Rebecca, you're mine. Alan, you're mine. Think about it. Sister Mora, you're mine. Oh, my grace. But you've got to believe it. You've got to believe it's for you, that God called you. I'm the only one out of my family. I'm the only one out of the church that I was raised up in. Why me? I don't know. But I'm so glad he chose me. Amen. Am I sorry about my brother and my sisters? Yes. But you know what? If they didn't want to come, what am I going to do? Beat them over the head with it? The old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. If they refuse it, my brother would stand there and blow cigarette smoke in my face and cuss. And say, I'm not even interested in church. I'm not interested in God. I don't want to hear about that stuff. He's still my brother. I still loved him. What are you going to do? Nothing. They want to hang on to, if they go to church like my other sisters did, and they want to hang on to that denominational filth that they've got because, oh, I can cut my hair and I can smoke my cigarettes and I can wear my makeup and I can wear my shorts and I can cuss once in a while and I'm okay because I've given my heart to God. I've been baptized. Brother Branham said this, I read it the other day. He said, if you say you've got the Holy Ghost, now think about it. If you say you've got the Holy Ghost and you smoke cigarettes, he said, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. And you're just as lost can be. So, whew. My. Now that's the prophet. That's not me. But see, they do it, and they do it because why? They want to heap up on this and this. I have to go back and read it and show it to you. It's right there. Let me go back here a couple of verses. The third verse, he says, among whom also we all had our conversation. Talking about when we were sinners, we all were sinners. In times past in the lust of the flesh. Right? The lust of the flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. Why do you think Brother Matt said the greatest battle ever fought was right here? But Paul said, you were doing those things because you didn't have the Holy Ghost. You're doing those things because you didn't know Christ. You were doing those things to fulfill the lust of your flesh and your mind. But grace called you out. Grace made it possible. Grace came and grace forgave us and grace brought us to Him and grace set us in heavenly places with one another in Christ Jesus, and grace did it all. It wasn't you. It wasn't me. It wasn't that anybody could boast on it. It was grace. Now, I've told you what faith was. I haven't even got off the first page yet. But we will right here. Who knows what grace is? What's the definition? I know you do, Andrew, so don't cheat on me. Andrew and Brenda and I had this talk. But really, grace. The Hebrew definition of grace. Now, I'm not even going to try and pronounce the word. I played it over and over. It's spelled K-H-A-N-E, but it's not spelled, it's not pronounced Cain. And it's also spelled C-H-E-N, but it's, anyway, I listened and listened and listened. I never could quite grasp it. But so let's pass the pronunciation. I'll leave that up to Brother Nathan. So let's do this one. Grace is favor. Remember what Brother Ram said? Oh, if I'm going to do you a favor. Now, if I say, Sister Christy, I'm going to do you a favor, but when I get done, you got to do something for me. That's not a favor. A favor is something I do expecting nothing in return. See? But grace is favor. It's also grace, of course. Grace is favor. It's also charm. It's also elegance. And it's also acceptance, depending on how it's used. But the ones we're looking for is what? Favor and acceptance. We found favor in God's eyes before the foundation of the world. And He accepted us, even though we were sinners. He accepted us before the foundation of the world because He knew what was going to happen. Comes right down to predestination or foreknowledge. People get so stumbled over predestination. It don't bother me a bit. Pre, meaning before. Destination. He had the foreknowledge. He knew before your destination even started. He knew it before where it was going to start and where it was going to end and everything that was going to happen in between. He knew where you would be, where you would live, what you would wear, what you would say, what you would eat, where you would sleep, and everything else about you. He knew every sin you were going to commit. And yet still, we found favor in the eyes of God, and He had already made a plan for us to be forgiven. Think about it. To find acceptance in the eyes of Almighty God, the one that never sinned, never did a thing wrong, never had a wrong thought, never had a wrong feeling, the perfect Almighty God, the full fountain of love and mercy and grace, stood there and thought of us sinful human beings and said, yet I will make a way for them. And we sit around sometimes, we say, well, but I'm not worthy. I'm not either. None of us were worthy. If we're worthy of anything, it would be to go to hell and be spoken out of existence after maybe a few million years of burning. But He made a way by His favor, His grace, His acceptance toward us. Not that we done one thing to deserve it because we didn't, but He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Think about it. It boggles the human mind to think that we've got a God that knew everything about us 100 million billion years ago. Maybe longer than that. And yet He knew it all, and yet He still said, Brother Luke, I'm still going to take that Luke Nicholson. I don't care what he done. I don't care where he came from. Look at Paul. You want to talk about grace. So educated, so smart in the Word of God, and yet so hypocritical in one way, and yet so perfect in another way. Think about it. Brother Brandon said you couldn't lay a finger on his life. But yet the very scriptures he was reading, and he turned around and rejected the Christ, made him a hypocrite because he's standing there reading that word and he couldn't see who it was. But one day when he met him, it didn't matter that he went down to have the people killed. It didn't matter that he said he had blasphemed. It didn't matter that he held the coats. What mattered was God said, look down through the eons of time and back before the beginning and said, that's the man I want. And he called him and he took Paul and made him the messenger to the first church age. Think about it. And then you go back and we talk about different ones. Do you realize there was even grace in the garden, even of Eden after the fall? There was. When Adam and Eve fell, maybe not in the garden, maybe I phrased that wrong, but Adam and Eve fell, and yes, they would not take that back. They were in the garden. And what happened? They hid themselves. But grace prevailed because God went and slew lambs and brought them down through there and called them for Adam. Adam, wherefore art thou Adam? God already knew that he had fallen. He knew before he made him he would fall. But yet, even though he did that, grace took over. And God had already made a way. Noah, even in his day, with the whole world, and God looked down through angry eyes. Can you imagine God sitting up on his throne looking down at this world and said, I'm going to utterly destroy that thing because they have rejected me. They've rejected my way of doing things. They've rejected my word, which is him. And I'm going to destroy them because all they want to do is fulfill the lust of the flesh and of the mind. All they want to do is do their own offerings to strange gods and all kinds of evil, perverse things. He said, the whole world is wicked. I'm going to destroy it all. Then he looked down all, and it's a kind of drama. He looked down and all of a sudden, there was Noah. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Even Abraham, our father of our faith, Abraham. With all the grace he had found, think, here he is worshiping idols, Brother Ram said, and walks up to this mountain when there's gods on top of the mountain, the clouds and the thunders and the lightnings and the amber colors and all that milling around on top of that mountain. And Abraham knew how. There was no Bible. He had no preacher. He had no teacher. He had no prophet at that time. He had an idol in his hand, Brother Branham said. But all of a sudden he knew that was more than what that was. He threw it down and accepted that was on top of the mountain. And even with all that he saw, even with all that God had done for him, he took him out of a land and is going to send him across there and going to give him all this other land. Every step that you step on, every place your foot lands is going to be yours. And yet when he come down to the king, the father of our faith lied to the king, not once but twice. And yet God, in his grace, his omnipotent mercy, still found acceptance and favor for Father Abraham. Think about it. And then you go on down. What about Lot? Oh, Lot's supposed to be the type of the foolish. And he is type of the foolish virgin. There's Abraham sitting up on the hill with God talking to him. There's Lot down in the city. And yet God had mercy on that foolish virgin. So people got to be careful when they say, oh, them people over there are lost. Really? How do you know? Who made you God? Who gave you the right to say who's lost? I can't walk out here and see this sinner laying up under the viaduct doing his drugs and his alcohol and laying up with 15 different women a week and doing all kinds of things and men too and what and say they're lost. I don't know that. He knows that. But I see too many people walking around, message believers, trying to say who's lost and who ain't and who's saved and who ain't. I don't know that. I'll take it by faith that every one of you are going to be there. That's what I want. But I can't prove to you I'm going to make it, and you can't prove to me I'm going to make it. But I believe by faith I'm going to make it by the grace of God, because he said it comes through faith. But there was Lot down there, and that wickedness in those cities were vexing his souls daily. Every day it tore him up to see the filth and the evil that was going on. And God had mercy on that one and said, you've got to leave this city, the angel said, because we can't do anything as long as you're in here. Come on, hurry, get out of here. See, he found grace. Think of Moses, the same thing. Got out of tune with God, got out of step with God, made some mistakes. He was still in Egypt when he slew the man because he thought that was, Brother Glenn said, he thought that was the way he was going to start it out. You know, he's going to be the soldier and he was going to take these armies and overthrow the government. They're going to do all of this. Wrong way to do it. That's not what God wanted. But one day, even after all the things that God had talked to him, everything God had showed him, God talking to him lip to ear, God with the pillar of fire and all of the miracles and all the wonders and all the signs that God had done through Moses. And yet he come up to that point of the rock and he failed to listen to God and he disobeyed him and he smote the rock instead of speaking to it. But that didn't make him lost. He still found favor with God. There was still grace. He didn't get to go into the promised land then. But the man said, I think it was something like 800 years later, there he was on Mount Transfiguration with Elijah and Jesus Christ. He made it. Grace still prevailed, though he had disobeyed God. Jesus was the only perfect one. He's the only one that had the grace to overcome Satan. He's the only one because he was God walking around in flesh. But what Paul said over in Romans, he says about grace, he said it's no longer works. But by grace, the grace of God, are we saved. It's not by works. Listen, there's too many message people, because they've heard it from some message preacher someplace, as well as out in talking to a brother earlier, and he's talking about how the church he came out of was so legalist. Yeah. Ours may not have been quite that bad, but it still had a certain amount of legalism in it. But with that same thing is trying to creep over into the message. Oh, you can tell you can't even celebrate a birthday. You can't celebrate an anniversary. You can't wear a wedding band. You can't wear a watch. You women aren't supposed to wear a little bit of nice jewelry that your husband likes for you. You've got to have your dresses to here and your dresses to here and your dresses dragging the floor. Where's that at in the message? Legalism. It's not in the word, but some man gets these ideas in his head. But the grace of God said that a woman would what? Dress modestly. Yeah. Now what is modest? Brother Branham defined it for us as far as I'm concerned. I watched Sister Branham. I said that to a man one time. I told my wife, I don't know how to dress. Watch Sister Branham. He said, well, I can't believe you ain't got any more of the Holy Ghost and your wife don't even know how to dress without watching Sister Branham. I said, you missed the whole point. My point was, if anybody knew how to dress properly, it would be that woman. So, you see, legalism has crept in. But Paul, and legalism is what? Works. Oh, you have to do this, Brother Jerry, and you have to do that. And you can't do this, Brother Anthony. And you can't do this, Brother Daniel. And you can't do this, Brother Steve. And you can't do this, Sister Angela. Oh, but now you can do this, Sister Mora. No, but yeah, we'll let you do that. I think that might be all right. Really? It's like I told some brothers one time, talking outside of the tabernacle, it'd been many years ago, talking about what they could and couldn't do, what they could and couldn't do. I stood there a few minutes, and I said, well, let me tell you, brothers, something. I said, I do anything and everything I want to. And I said, there ain't no man and no prophet going to tell me what I can and can't do. You should have seen the look on their face, especially when I included no prophet. I wasn't being disrespectful to Brother Branham. I was being honest. Why? Because it's not by works. I said, here's the thing, brothers. Everything I do at the direction of the Holy Ghost. There's the balance in it. If I didn't misunderstand the message, Brother Branham says the same thing. It's not by works, but it's by His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that leads you and guides you in what you can and can't do. One woman feels like she's got to wear her dress all the way down to the floor. Bless God, that's all right if that's what you feel like you got to do. The other sister may have hers down just where she's walking. It's I don't know how far. I don't go around measuring people. That went on for a while, by the way, in Arizona. They'd measure your sideburns, make sure they weren't too long. They never measured mine. But anyway, they did. I'm serious. They go, oh, you tell my brother, your sideburns are 1/8 of an inch too long. They don't want to come and measure mine. I wear mine where I want to. You ain't telling me where to wear them because he tells me what to do. There's nothing in there about men's sideburns. Come on. But anyway, back to the story. One sister may want to wear hers to the floor. The other one may want to wear hers that low below her knees. You know what the thing of it is? Brother Branham said, make sure you sisters, and I'm sure you've heard it, said, when you sit down that your dress covers your knees. Now, I don't read anywhere in there where he said, covers your knees all the way to the floor. When you sit down, then you're not sitting there going, you know. I'm glad I wear pants. You wouldn't want to see these old ugly knees anyway. But the point, sorry, I had to make something there so I could relax a moment. But look, see, that's the way it is. And then they want to say, oh, you got to wear them to here and you got to, where? Where does it say that at? Only thing I heard Brother Bram say is you make sure your underneath clothes don't show. Amen. See, so if you got a blouse on, I don't care if your sleeves are to here, and you bend over and everything shows, what good is it? Amen. See, it's modesty. Well, the same thing goes for us men. Brother Bram talked about him a bunch of sissies running around wearing short. I'm going to do. Claim to be the message. Brother Bram called them sissies. I can say the same thing. And I don't know if anybody here that wears them, but if you do, outside of your house, I mean, I'm not talking about if you go to bed and that's what you sleep in, that's fine. But he was talking about we're going to put our army in shorts that time, those cutoffs and shorts that time. Said a bunch of sissies. Said any man that wears shorts is sissy. Well, we've got them out there today. They're even wearing women's clothes. But that's the world. But in the church, it's modesty, not legalism. I'm sure if the pastor thought you were out of line, he'd talk to your husband, and if he had to, then talk to you or something along that line. But I'm just saying, you have got to decide, what is modesty? What is it that I can wear that it's not going to make every man try to look every time I turn around and do something or bend over or sit down or this or that and the other? See, there is, but there's some animals out there, I don't care if you wore a burlap bag. Yeah, I'm serious. Listen, I've worked out in the world all my life. I've worked on the farm, I've worked in the Navy, I've worked in the fire department, I've worked in construction. Believe me, these things they accuse our president of saying is nothing compared to what some men say. I'm not justifying him, I'm just making a comment. So get away from politics. But I'm saying it's modesty. But the men have got to do it too. Can't run around with a pair of shorts and what they call a wife beater on. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a wife beater. I've got an undershirt on under this. They call them wife beaters. Well, I don't wear them to beat my wife, and I don't go out in public in them either. I mean, the shirt alone. I always have my other shirt on. But see, some of them do that. And, oh, I believe the message. Bless God. I'm, you know, God saved me. I can do what I want to. Yep, you sure can. Brother Bam said the road to hell is paved with good intentions too. So what are you going to do with that? What's your intentions? But I'm trying to talk about grace and I keep going somewhere else, so forgive me. No longer works. That's where I got off on this at. It's not by works. It's not legalism that's going to save you. It's the grace of God. Think about it. I heard Brother Branham say one time, I'd have to find it, I'm just quoting this from memory. He said, if you're a child of God, you can do anything you want to. That's right. The grace of God will take care of you. You can do anything you want to. And you can. Do you know that? You can do anything you want to. You can drink all you want, smoke all you want, cuss all you want, lust all you want, stay home all you want. But what does that Holy Ghost in here tell you he wants you to do? Please the Father. What Brother Branham say on another place? He said, I can do anything I want to. He said, but all the want to's been taken out of me. See, there's always two sides. You got to balance it out. You can't just take this side and go, I can do anything I want to. And I've heard that one, and they do. I've heard the other one, oh, you can't, you got to do this, 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 and this. And then you're walking around like this, you're afraid to do anything. Better not smile. Better not say amen. I better not shout. I better not be late. I better get there right on time. I better do this, and I better do that. Oh, the pastor, oh, the deacons, oh, this, oh, this, oh, this. No. We do what we do because we love one another. And because we love him, and because we love the bride of Christ, and we want to live the way God wants us to live. Why? Because he first loved us, and he called us, and he chose us, and he gave us his grace. And therefore, we want to be like Jesus said, everything I do, he said, I come to do the will of my Father. And he was grace rolled into one body. But he still, the man still,
wanted to please that spirit, that God that lived in him. This wanted to please this. Then what about us? See, but it's not because we have to. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. We don't live this message because some preacher stands up there and says, Sister Stephanie, you better not do that. You better do this. Brother, I appreciate your concern, but can you show me in the Bible? Can you show me in the message? Well, now listen, I'm the pastor. I'm the preacher. No. Where's it at in the Word, brother? I appreciate your opinion, but where's it at in the Word? That's what I want. Where's it at in the Word? It's not what Bill Layton thinks. Pastor's not here, but he'll hear this. I'll use it anyway. It's not what Brother Nathan Bryant thinks. It's what does the Word say? It's what did the prophet teach us? That's what we go by. We've got the grace of God, but let's not make grace, as Brother Branham said, let's not make grace a disgrace. Let's not say just because I can go out here and do anything and everything I want. See? And make grace a disgrace. If you've got grace, let's show we've got grace by the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we drive, the way we dress, and the way we act. See, showing that we have got the grace of God in our heart by faith, and we love him so much that we don't want to hurt him. Amen. And then if we do something wrong, it's right straight down to the altar, and you get down and, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to do that, Lord. Forgive me of it. And it's over. Amen. It don't take 15 minutes. If that's what you want to spend, go right ahead. Now, don't misunderstand me. But if you can be sincere and earnest before God and hit your knees and say, Lord, even if you don't hit your knees, you might be driving down the street and realize, oh, man, I talked about that idiot back there. I'm sorry, Lord, I shouldn't have called that man. Be merciful to him. Forgive me. See, that's all it takes when he comes from here. That you mean it. Why? Because you've got grace. And you want to show it to others as much as you possibly can. You want to put that grace out there to others. What if that idiot that I was talking about was a child of God? I remember years ago, a long time ago, back in the 70s. We lived in Arizona. Brother Ben Bryant, most of you didn't know him, but you know of him from the tapes. Brother Ben worked for us out there in Payton. We were up on a roof putting a white roof coating on, and him and I were talking on the Word. And I don't know, he somehow had come up about these people out here, you know, blah, 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 and this about them. And he's talking about how they were lost and how they were this and how they were that. See, he hadn't caught the revelation of everything either. And I don't know, it hit me all of a sudden. No, it had to be the Lord, because I'm not that smart. I looked at him, I said, Brother Ben, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, these people that you're talking about, I said, you're saying they're lost, right? Well, bless God. That's Brother Ben. Bless God, yes, they're lost. You know, I said, okay, they're lost. I said, but let me ask you this. I said, what about if in 2 weeks from now, or maybe in 2 months from now, maybe even 2 years from now, what if they accept the Lord Jesus Christ and come into this message? Are they saved? Well, bless God, of course they're saved. I said, no, they're not. He said, what do you mean they're not? I said, Brother Ben, they were either always saved or they'll never be saved. Boy, I didn't hear no amens off of that one. Grace, before the foundation of the world, predestinated who was going to be there. I didn't say which ones. I'm talking about his children. If that's not true, I've been in the message 53 years. How many's been in the message that long? Mm-hmm. So what, all you people were lost? Sure you were. But guess what? You were also saved. You just didn't know it. The grace of God called you in. The grace of God called me in. I don't care if you were raised in the message. Doesn't make any difference. If you haven't found the grace of God living in your heart, you're just as lost as you can be. Lost track of time. So it's not by works that any of us are saved. It's by the grace of God. Because if it was something you could do or I could do, then we could stand up and say, look what I did. Boy, yes, look what Bill Layton done. Man, he, yes, man, I'm all right. Man, I just, look at me. Boy, I tell you, ain't nobody any better than me because I done all of this stuff. No. It's what he did, not what I did. I wasn't worthy. But he, Brother Bam said, he made us worthy. He made me worthy. He took my unworthiness that I might become worthy. He looked down through the eons of times and knew I would be standing right here tonight talking about this very thing. By grace. Not because I deserved to be standing here. But because he wanted me to stand here. It wasn't that I'd done anything to deserve it. He decided it. It's not by what I done. It's what he done. That is grace. I found favor in his sight when I didn't deserve it. When all I deserved was a devil's hell. Yet he said no. And so he did to every one of you that have accepted him. Or every one of you that will accept him. It doesn't matter what you've done. It's what you do. So Paul says this in Hebrews. 4th chapter, he said, let us come boldly. Don't you like that? Boldly. Brother Lee, you don't have to get on your knees and crawl up this floor with your nose dragging on the carpet until it bleeds before you get here because, oh, I'm so afraid that if I approach God, maybe I better do this and maybe, you know what, I have a fear of God too. But the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But wisdom tells me what? To come boldly. Before what? Unto the throne of grace. Here we go again. Come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. And find grace to help in the time of need. Think about it. The Apostle Paul tells us to come boldly. We have a need, you come boldly. You don't go up and say, well, I'll approach God, but I don't know, Brother Jerry. Maybe he won't heal me. You're right, he won't. Not with that attitude. Now, I don't mean you walk up there and go, oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to go before God and I'm going to get my healing. No. That's not it. It's boldness is this. It's knowing down in here that you are a child of God. That you, by grace, you are saved. That you belong to him. And that you're allowed to approach him. And come and say, Father, I need help. Father, I need a job. Father, I need healing. Father, I need another blessing. Or Father, I need. Whatever it is, you come boldly because you know who you are. If you don't know, then how can you go boldly and ask him? How can you walk up there with the blessed assurance Jesus is mine? Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Think about it. Salvation. By what? Grace. But you've got to know that you know that you know that you know. You've got to know who you are. You've got to know what you are. I'm a child of God, saved by the grace of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, believing all of his word. It's that simple. Then what do you do? Then when I have a need, I can walk up and say, Father. It'd be like the children going before Dad. I'm sure we can all remember that. You go before Dad when you've been bad. Dad might give you something all right, but it ain't going to be what you want. Or maybe Dad don't do that. Maybe it's Mom. But the point being, but when you know you've done right, you've done all your chores and you've acted right, you've done your grades right, you've done your studies, you've done whatever it is that you have to do, and then you want to go up and say, hey, Dad, I would sure like to go down to the park and play with the guys. Can I go? You just know Dad's going to say yes. Unless there's an absolute reason. Sometimes Andrew's come and ask me something. He's, can I do this and this? And for some reason, checked in my heart. In fact, just the other night, he wanted to do such and such. I said, no, I think you better just come on home. I can't explain that. I don't know. It was just something that said, no, he shouldn't do that. I don't know why. Did he get mad about it? Well, if he did, he didn't show it to me. I don't think he did. But he came home. Maybe later when he'd come home, maybe he'd had a wreck. Maybe later he might have fallen, broken both arms or something. I don't know what might have happened. But the point was, see, many times you have to go by what the leading of the Holy Ghost tells you to do, and we don't know what it is sometimes, or why it is, excuse me. So that's why a lot of times the young people don't understand. Well, mom and dad won't let me do this. They won't let me do that. They won't let me. Well, it's either because you're not being behaved or because the Lord is dealing with them about something and they just feel checked that you shouldn't do it. They're not doing it to be mean. Just because, well, it's like I used to raise mine, and that still goes, even as old as I am. My household was not a democracy. It was a monarchy, and I was the king. My kids used to laugh, too. I said, yeah, but what I said goes. So laugh if you want. Laugh if you want to, but you'll know what dad says is it. I'm the head of the house, but I've got a king also. See? So even though you're the king, you still try to treat him right. Even though we're the king, or excuse me, the head over our wives, we got to remember we got a head. Being the head over your wife don't make her a second-class citizen. It don't make her a doormat, as Brother Branham said. So you got to treat her like you know you should treat her. We're not going to get into that, but I want to, because I'm getting away from my subject. All right. Come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. Some people think, well, I can't come because I'm not living just exactly right. Well, guess what? Neither did the woman well. But she found grace one day. But when she went in, or I can rephrase that if it bothers you a little bit. Let me say it this way, grace found her. But I like to say, just for the sake of argument, she found grace. But look what she did with that grace when she found it. See, there's a lot of people find grace and they still want to run out and do everything else instead of accepting grace. What about the woman with the blood issue? There's not one thing in the Bible that says that woman was a Christian or a devout Jew. It just said she was a woman with a blood issue. But she believed that if she could just reach out there and touch the hem of that garment, she could get healed, and grace recognized that faith and she got her healing. What about the Shunammite woman? She found grace. Think about it. See, and we tell them, oh, we're not worthy. Were any of these women worthy? Not a one of them had the Holy Ghost. Not a one of them had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a one of them went to Message Church. Not a one of them knew about Paul. He wasn't on the scene yet. I know, as far as in his office. But I'm just saying, see, you want to take it. Sometimes people want to take it back that far. But let's go over here. But yet they still found grace. And they accepted grace because they believed it when they heard it, when they saw it. What about the centurion? Lord, I'm not even worthy for you to come under my roof. Just speak the word. He found grace. What about the man at the Bethesda, at the pool, laying there all those years? He wasn't going to die. He'd already been there, what, 38 years, I think, something like that. He wasn't going to die, at least not right away. But yet, there come grace walking down amongst 2,000 people or so, weaving his way around until he got over to that one. He raised up. What? Grace came to him and he accepted it. What about Legion? Now, there's a case of grace. Legion. 2,000 devils. We can look around. And there's plenty of devils running around out here. But right now, I don't know of any medically proven that there's a man or a woman with 2,000 evil spirits in them. But this one had it. 2,000. And it all started, Brother Bram said, from one little lie. Think about that, you young people, before you try and tell mom and dad a lie. I'm not saying you're going to end up like Legion, but maybe you better think about it. Honesty is always the best answer. I used to tell my children that. I said, you may lie and get away with it, but when I find out, then you're going to pay double. So, you know, you can't just go around and lie and say, well, but if I tell you the truth, I'm going to get in trouble. But if you don't tell me the truth, you're going to get in trouble twice. You're going to get in trouble for the wrong you've done, and you're going to get in trouble for lying to me. So you may as well just tell the truth and let's get it over with. All right, Brother Branham said this. On Abraham's seed. He said, now Jesus said, and we can't argue with him, Brother Ram says, said, no man can come to me except the Father first draws him. And then it was God knocking at your heart. Don't you like that? Grace. That's me, not Brother Ram, but grace. God knocking at your heart. Not you seeking God, it was God seeking you. So you see, the covenant is to you also a grace covenant. It's because God's grace calling you. He said you never chose him. He chose you. Out of the millions in the world today, he reached down and chose you. I want you to make this personal tonight, people. He chose you. Don't worry about the person sitting next to you. I don't care if it's your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your daughter, your son. Just think about it. God chose me. Out of 8 billion people in the world, God chose me. Think about it. Because He put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Before he made anything, your name was put on that book. That's what the Bible said. Before there was a world, Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Because when God speaks anything, it's so perfect, it has to take place, and it's as good as done when he speaks it. It's not law. Now, I want you to remember, law can also be defined as legalism. Why don't we have laws that we have to obey? But that's not the kind of laws we're talking about. We're talking about those that will bound you by man's law, man's legalism, man's ideas, man's doctrines. It's not by law, it's grace by Jesus Christ, not just for healing, but for salvation. For by grace are you saved, and that through faith. Excuse me. Just a comment. I want you to think about this. The chains of sin were broken at Calvary. And Satan was dealt on that day a mortal wound. I know he's not dead, but he was dealt a mortal wound. He thought he had gotten Christ. But when Christ rose, he found out he didn't. And really, I shouldn't say, but really, let's go the way Brother Branham said it. That day when Jesus walked down there into hell, he knocked on the door and Satan came. He reached over and grabbed the keys off. He spun around and kicked him on the backside and shut the door and started back up. And here come Abraham and Sarah and all the rest of the saints and came back with him. Satan knew when he opened that door, there he was. I thought I had you. You didn't have him. The grace of God prevailed. But Satan has been defeated. But here's the problem I have with a lot of us. Satan, I would like to say it this way, if you'd permit me. Satan's back was broken when Christ died and resurrected. He's laying there broken. Think about it. There he lays. And you can walk around him. And you can look at him. You can feel sorry for him. And you can leave him there and go on your way. But too many people want to walk over there, poor devil. They want to reach down and they want to grab him. They want to put him on their shoulder. He's got a broken back. Well, that broken back can still talk. And there he is. He's talking. It's time to take that devil off your shoulder and throw him back on the ground where he belongs. Put him under your feet, which is where he belongs and which was where he is. And go on in victory towards the high mark of the calling of Jesus Christ. It's time to show him that we are children of God. It's time to let him know that we realize that we have gotten the grace of God from before the foundation of the world, and we are children of God, and we believe it, and we accept it, and he's a liar. And as I said over in the storefront, if you had a friend that lied all the time, and you knew it, it lied everything out of that person. I used to know one like that. I'm serious. I couldn't believe anything the gal said. Every time she opened her mouth, you didn't know if she told you it was sunshiny, you'd want to walk outside and look. Now, if you've got somebody, don't have to be a friend, maybe just somebody you know like that, then how in the world can you believe anything they say? Then why in the world would you ever believe the Father of it all? Think about it. Why in the world would you even sit there and let the devil tell you you're not saved? Why in the world would you want to sit there and let the devil tell you that this message isn't right because, oh, so-and-so that used to follow the message said such-and-such. I don't care what so-and-so said about such-and-such. The prophet said it this way, and that's the way I believe it. Amen. I don't have to prove it to one jack man of them out there. I believe it, and that settles it. And if they don't like it, they can take a long walk off a short pier because right down below that is hell. And that's where they'll end up. Why? Because they blaspheme. But all I'm saying is, why would you want to listen to somebody that you knew was nothing but a liar, a habitual liar? That's all they did was lie, 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 lie. Everything out of their mouth was a lie. Then why would you believe them? Then why would you believe their father, who is the author of the lie, of all lies? And yet he'll come and tell you, you're not healed, and you're not saved, and you don't have the victory, and you don't feel like going to church, and you don't feel like shouting, and you don't feel like jumping, and you don't feel like running, and you don't feel like preaching, and you don't feel like singing. What are we going to do, Brother Joshua, when you and Sister Stephanie on the same night decide, I don't feel like playing the organ and the piano? Then people can just make it on their own. I'm not saying they would, but I'm just saying. See, what are we going to do? Oh, then all of a sudden, oh, Sister Anna, she don't want to play either. Well, my wife's not feeling good, so she's not going to play. Okay, Anthony, you take the keyboard, I'll take the organ. Boy, we really have a time, wouldn't we? Woo! We'd empty the church for sure. Then we'd get Brother Yarbrough to sing a special. Everybody would go home in about two shakes. You wouldn't even wait to get out the door. You'd probably trample each other. But you see, what I'm trying to say is everybody's got something they want to do, but one thing you don't want to do is listen to the enemy. You don't want to listen to that old devil. You don't want to hear what he has to say. And when he comes up and tells you you're not healed, you tell him what a liar he is, that Jesus Christ took the stripes on his back. They beat him so much you couldn't even tell what he was. If you've ever seen the Passion of the Christ, that don't even touch what they've done to our Lord and Savior. I don't know how he could even pick up the cross, let alone carry it as far as he did. And then to drive nails in his hands and his feet, shove a spear in his side, and he hangs there for all them hours and so forth. And then finally, when it comes time, he gives up the ghost. What? For you and me. And yet we want to listen to the old enemy. He says, oh, Brother David, you're not saved. You remember what so-and-so said about you? You remember what you said? What's that got to do with it? I like the song that says, what sins are you talking about, friends? I don't remember them anymore. How can he dig them up? If he can't dig them up, I know the enemy can. But you know what? We say, well, guess what? You're a liar and the father of it. Now you get behind me in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to listen to this stuff. I am saved. I am a child of God. Let me give you a little piece of Bill Layton advice. Brother Branham said this about healing. I'm going to stretch it a little bit and include it on salvation. I hope that'll be all right. In one place he said, if you don't believe you're healed, he said, you keep saying you're healed until you do believe it. Then what about salvation? If you've done everything God has told you to, if you've repented, if you've been baptized, and you keep seeking the Holy Ghost, then you keep telling that devil, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. When he comes and says, oh, you're not saved. Oh, yes, I am. I've met all of those requirements right there. Now, God, whatever else it is I have to meet to get the Holy Ghost, you let me know and I'll do it. But the devil's going to say, oh, no, you don't want to do that. Oh, no. Don't you do that. He don't want you to do that. He wants to keep you hypocritically saved. You know, you're saved. You go to church. You believe the message. You sing the songs. You're nice and you do it. Oh, that's all nice. But guess what? You've got to know that you know that you know. You've got to know you have that Holy Ghost, people. Amen. You can't have a doubt in there. That's why I like to ask sometimes, how many of you are saved? How many even know you've got the Holy Ghost? You don't have to sit there and say, well, let me think about this, Brother Joel. Let me see. Yeah, you know, I remember back in such and such a year, I repented, and then I got baptized. I think a brother so-and-so baptized me way back then. I think I'm saved. No. If you're saved, you ain't going to have to stop and think about it. You know you're saved. But if you don't know, grace is available. All you have to do, it's there. All you have to do is reach out and take it. If he's ever called you, if he's still calling you, grace is available. Cheryl's husband had passed away laying in the hospital, thought he had blasphemed the Holy Ghost because he said something to a couple of women that said they were Christians or whatever. But the man, he thought he blasphemed. So he really wouldn't sell out all the way. But he walked around with one of those little New Testaments in his back pocket all the time and read it all the time. Wow, and thought he was lost, thought he didn't have a chance, but he'd read the Bible, read that little testament, and read it. Laying in the hospital one day, up there a few months before he died, and another pastor and myself was up there, and Cheryl and Brenda was visiting with him and trying to talk to him. He says, oh, but I blasphemed. I said, Cody, let me ask you a question. I said, would you like to be saved? Do you really want to serve God? He said, of course I do, but I blasphemed. I said, that's not what I ask you. I said, do you really want to serve God? Yes. Do you feel like he's still calling you? Yeah. I said, then how did you blaspheme? So I think if I remember right, I told him the story about the woman that blasphemed, the one where she told Brother Bam, I don't need no some dummy like you or something telling me her daddy was a preacher. And remember the next time he seen her, she offered him a drink and offered him a cigarette and said she could see her mother's soul fry in hell and laugh at it and so forth. I think I referred him to that. I said, brother, if he's calling, if he's still calling, you haven't blasphemed. Said, you didn't make fun of the Lord. You didn't make fun of his word. You didn't make fun of anything. You just set them women straight on something that they said, and you felt like you blasphemed. That's a lie of the devil. See, that's what he wants to do. He wants to get you in a little trap and then keep pounding that away, pounding that away, and pounding that away, and pounding that until he gets you to believe and you're actually wrong. When you're not, you take it back to the word. But if he's calling, don't refuse him. Don't keep just saying, well, I'll wait till next week. Well, maybe next service. Well, maybe next week. Well, maybe next year. Maybe next month. What if you don't see next month? Oh, but Brother Layton, I'm 15 years old. I don't care. Who said you're going to make 16? Who said you were going to see tomorrow? Oh, Brother Layton, I'm 47 years old, and I've been in this message for 30 years. But do you have the Holy Ghost? Well, see? Then who said you're going to see 38? It's time to decide this. Is it God or is it his enemy? Which one are you going to serve? Going to church won't save you. Listening to Brother Nathan won't save you. Listening to the tapes won't save you. Singing songs won't save you. Being baptized won't save you. You've got to believe the word, act on the word, apply the word, live the word. When grace called, you've got to answer, you've got to accept, and you've got to seek the Lord until you get the Holy Ghost, because grace is just hanging there waiting for you to reach out and take it. Like an apple on a tree. You can eat that apple and live, or you can just let it hang there and you can die. That's what Cody did. When he realized he hadn't, and the preacher said, the woman walks in with that carafe of water and sets it down there. And the pastor looked at him. He said, you know, yeah, accepting the Lord is just like that water. He said, you can reach over and take that water and pour you a glass and drink it and live, or you can just leave it sit there and you can just thirst yourself until you die. Something along that line. He said, salvation's the same way. You haven't blasphemed. You can either accept Christ or you can die. He caught it. He accepted Christ. His whole life changed. 3 months later, 3 months, children, he was gone. Oh, I'll see him again, because he believed this message that quick. He believed it. That's what it is. That was grace. The devil had him fooled all that time. He was a rabble rouser. He's a union rep down at American Airlines. He was a rabble rouser. They didn't like seeing him come because he was a union man. And he'd turn them every which way. He was a nice guy. Don't misunderstand me now. He wasn't a big bully, but he stood for the rules, and he was this, this, and this, and this. And this is the way it's going to be done or else. And the guys from American Airlines didn't like it when he came in to help solve a problem for the employees. They didn't like it. They didn't want to deal with him because he got results. But when he changed, when the Lord got a hold of him and changed him, then they seen the difference. Everybody that came to his funeral said, they called him Dwayne. We always called him Cody. When I did his funeral, I said, the man I call Cody, because his last name is Coday, and we called him Cody. But the thing is, when we did his funeral, and all these people come and says, he changed. Something happened to him. We know he was genuine. We know something happened. We know he changed. I said, he became a Christian. That's what he was saying. Everybody that knew him out at American that came, and there was probably 400 of them, they all said he was a different man. See? And he wasn't ashamed to go telling every one of them, I'm a Christian. I've accepted the Lord. I believe this. I believe this. I believe this. I'm a changed man. That's what it is. He accepted grace when he finally realized it was his. He took it. So it is, should be for you, that if you realize it's grace hanging there for you, that before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ did that for you, then you should be ready and willing to accept it. Don't sit back and say, well, I'll wait till I'm 21 years old. I'll wait till I'm 30 years old. I'll wait till... You may not make it that long. You may go out here and get in your car and drive home and somebody run a stop sign and you're gone. We don't know what's going to happen in this crazy, evil, wicked, nasty, filthy world out here of who's going to go crazy. So it pays each one of us to be ready and know who we are and what we are, and that grace is there. And grace, we have found favor in God's eyes. We found acceptance in God's eyes. And we believe His word and we love Him so much, we want to do what He says to do. And I've got to stop. I'm already past my time. And I've still got about 6 more quotes. So I'm going to stop. Maybe the pastor will pick this up sometime. Musicians, if you'll come. Brother Bram said on remembering the Lord, he said, we remember the blessings that you, the blessings you have been to us, and we remember your word, that you would not leave us nor forsake us. Old age will have nothing to do with it, and you'll still remember us. When the world shall be no more, and time shall fade into eternity. He said, it's written something like this. Could a mother forget her suckling babe? I can never forget you. You're engraved upon the palms of my hand, the Lord says. The nails that engraved our names, we know that you remember us, Lord. And may you always be in our fondest memories as our Lord, as our Savior, our healer, our King and our lover, our life and our sunshine, our all in all. That inexhaustible fountain of God's grace and love to we fallen human beings of Adam's family. Granted, Lord, as we commit ourselves to Thee now, going from this tabernacle tonight, remembering Jesus Christ. You want to start that song? I'm going to do something a little different tonight, if you'll bear with me about 10, 15 minutes. Brother Luke, would you do that for me now? Grace, grace, God's grace. I wrangled over this, and while I was sitting up here, I just felt like maybe I should go ahead and do this. It's kind of odd. I set it down on the floor there about it. We've talked about grace. Talked a little bit about healing. I know there's some of you that are going through a lot of things. Whether it be mental battles, physical battles, whether it be loved ones, whether it be jobs, whether it be health, whether it be sin, whether it be unbelief, and I know that's sin. Mistakes. What's the bucket for? Brother Bram told of someone. When the feller had the epileptic fit, pull the shirt off his back and throw it in the fire. Why didn't he just pronounce him well? Because they had something they had to do. Elijah gave his staff to his servant and said, go lay it on the child. Why didn't he just pronounce him well? He was a prophet. Because there was something that had to be done. Oral Roberts used to tell it, and I remember it as a child. You need healing? You need salvation? You tell him, put your hand on the radio. Brother Branham explained that. He said it was a point of contact. Someplace where you could let your faith go. Knowing that that man of God was going to pray for you, you had your hand on that radio. It's kind of like, you might say, kind of like a prayer cloth. If you didn't believe, that prayer cloth wouldn't do you no good. You could cover yourself in prayer cloths. You could get one of Brother Branham's suits if they were still available and put it on. If you didn't believe it, it wouldn't help you a bit. Brother Nathan, myself, Brother Bird, Brother Hoover, the elders, we could stand here and pour a gallon of oil on you and lay hands on you and pray until we couldn't talk no more. And if you didn't believe it, it wouldn't do you no good. What's the bucket for? For those of you that want to, you stand up, walk around there. When you get to that bucket, if you got a doubt, put it in the bucket. You got a fear, put it in the bucket. You got a sickness, put it in a bucket. So what's the point? The point is to exercise your faith. God, by faith, I'm going to take this thing. There it is. Foolish? If you think so. I've seen it work. Why? Because they believe, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost. I'm going to take my sins. Forgive me, Lord. Now here's my doubt. Throw it in the bucket. I want the Holy Ghost. I'm tired of living like this, Lord. I've repented, I've been baptized, but I want the Holy Ghost. I'm tired of being sick, Lord. I'm tired of being tired. As I told Brenda one time when I was so sick, I couldn't hardly get out of bed. I said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and God's either going to heal me or He's going to take me. That was desperation. Then get desperate tonight. Get rid of those things that so easily beset you. Put them in the bucket. Be serious to God. Like laying your hand over on the radio. Find a point. Throw it in there and say, God, here it is. I'm done with it. Satan, you're a liar, and get out of here. You do that and step over here and I'll pray for you. You go on your way claiming the victory. Now, is there any of them, anyone that wants to do that while our brother leads in grace? Grace. God's grace. Go ahead, brother.
God's grace that
tree. By his stripes we are healed. It's by his blood we are sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon the tree. By his stripes we are healed. By his blood we are sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain.
There's an army that's rising up.
There is healing, it's in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing, it's in the name of Jesus. Lord, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. Have thine own way. till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Have thy own way, Lord. Have thy own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Have thy own way, Lord. Have thy own way. Search me and try me, Master.
You feel better? Those of you that came forward, those that you didn't, that's all right. I hope you didn't have any problems to get rid of or anything that was bothering you. Hey, you'll never get rid of all your problems as long as we're fighting this old boy. But you know what? I appreciated the faith that every one of you that came forward exhibited. Trying to find the right word there. I lost it. I believe God's going to honor it. I really do. I fought doing that downstairs. I thought, no, that's going to be silly. What are they going to think? Have they ever seen anything like that before? And I said, oh, Lord, that's just... But I was sitting up here, and when I got up and went out, that's what it was for. It just kept coming. I thought, well, if I can't lose it, I may as well do it. And if they laugh at me, they laugh at me. And if they don't want to do it, they don't want to do it. But by faith, you said, I'm going to accept God's grace. That grace extended to healing. It extended to salvation. We threw everything in there that's bothering us. It's gone back into the depths of hell. Yes, it's symbolic. So was the shirt that was ripped off the brother's back and thrown in the fire. So was laying on the hands of the radio with Oral Roberts and different things like that. It's the fact that you accepted God's word that my grace extends to you. Like he told Paul, my grace is sufficient. And so it is for you and I. I trust you enjoyed my little jumbled up message and trying to drive home grace. It's not by works. It's not by legalism. It's nothing you could do to deserve it. It's nothing I could do to deserve it. If we was as rich as George Soros, the richest man in the world, what good couldn't buy 1 ounce of God's grace? He'll still, if you don't accept Jesus Christ and seek the Holy Ghost and so on, he'll still be lost, just as lost as he can be, and go to hell. Yet the little widow woman put 2 pennies in the offering. She was just as saved as she could be. So think about it. It's not the money. It's grace. Grace is freely given. Nothing you or I could do to deserve it or earn it, but it was given. And tonight you walked up and said, God, I want that grace. Here's that problem. I'm taking grace. By faith, I'm throwing it away. And by faith, I'm taking grace. God bless you. Until we meet again, Pastor will be back by trust safely sometime tomorrow night. And be here Wednesday night. He said, somebody asked him, said, Brother Nathan, you going to preach Wednesday night? He said, if I can stand, I will. And if I can't, I won't. So I don't doubt what he'll preach. He'll probably be so fired up from that trip, he'll want to just use both barrels of that shotgun on us. And I hope he does. God bless you. As you go, come back Wednesday night expecting. Don't lose grace. Come back expecting something from God. Because that's the only way we get it. We've got to come expecting. I love you. God bless you.
God bless you, saints. Let's stand.
I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. Sing that as we go tonight. God bless you, saints.